Morning.
Good morning. Two items this morning. The first one is your acceptance of approximately $4.3 million grant from the FAA. This grant's being offered for us to accomplish two things. The first is the completion of our 500-foot runway extension project, and the second is the rehabilitation of the existing runway, the 5,000 feet that we already have out there. There's been a lot of confusion about naming these projects. For the FAA, completion of our 500-foot extension is actually phase four. You heard that term. That completes that project. And then the rehabilitation project is a separate project to them. We've combined all of that into one design, one package. We refer to it as package two of the 500-foot extension. Either way, it's $4.3 million to do everything that we've put out the bid and opened bids on for that project. About a week and a half ago, our congressional delegation announced that we were receiving the bid. Last week we actually received the offer. The next step is for you to accept the money and, as I said, the obligations that go with it. Unless you have any questions, I have a motion.
Any questions, Council?
No.
Read your motion, please, sir.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council accepts the Federal Aviation Administration's grant offer of $4,297,047 as the United States share of 90% of the allowable costs incurred in accomplishing the projects extend runway 422 phase 4 and rehabilitate runway 422.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The second item is the only thing left outstanding for this project, and that's a construction management agreement with Urban Engineers. They'll be providing a resident engineer and inspectors for the project during the life of the project. The estimated cost, or the proposed cost for that, is $305,000. As part of the FAA's requirements, we did have an outside firm do an independent fee estimate of the cost of the scope of work. And actually, Urban's number was about 13% less than what they estimated it to be. A lot of that is based on the Urban's experience with what we call Package 1. They're the inspectors on that project and knowing the local conditions out here. Unless you have any questions, I have a motion for that.
Sounds good.
Any questions, Council? Entertain a motion?
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves Amendment Number 13 to the engineering agreement between Sussex County and Urban Engineers, Inc. for Sussex County Project 12-07, Runway 422 Extension Package 2, Construction Phase Services, which increases the original contract amount by $305,000.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item of business on the agenda under old business is an ordinance to amend Chapter 29 of the Code of Sussex County governing Sussex County personnel to conform to and comply with federal law and state law and current personnel practices. Recall during the public hearing held 3 weeks ago, we opened up the public hearing with a discussion on the proposed amendments to the Chapter 29 County Code, which we refer to as the Personnel Ordinance. Mr. Willoughby and Mrs. Brewington were here to go through the draft ordinance, at which time during the public comment, we had public comment and questions. We took down the questions and comments and circulated those to Council. In turn, we also provided a Sussex County response to the comments that were heard, which were contained in your packet and circulated late last week. At this point, Mr. Willoughby is here and can come forward, please. And we're prepared to go over the response that are given to the questions and comments that were given. There's a number of them, so if there are any particular that you'd like to pay closer attention to, or we could quickly highlight the document that we're discussing, and then continuation of consideration of this new ordinance.
Are there any particular ones council would like to have Mr. Willoughby address specifically of the questions asked by the public at our hearing?
Well,
Mr. Phillips.
I guess I would like to address the one that gives sole authority to the administrator and the human resource director for changes. I think it was agreed, at least it seemed to be a consensus, that we would like to change that so that the county council could have a final approval of any changes. Do you see any problem with that?
Not at all. We did not, in the ordinance, I don't think changes the council's authority at all. In fact, section 29.3-3B has a specific provision that maintains the council's authority over all personnel practices. What we talked about, just as kind of belts and suspenders, if you will, was to add language into 29-13, which I believe is the section you were talking about, that just reiterates that council maintains its reservation of full authority to approve or disapprove any personnel practice. So it's in the prior part of the ordinance, but we're going to put it back in as a secondary provision to section 29-13, just as kind of a belts and suspenders, so there's no question that council retains all authority.
So if in fact that was council's pleasure, the proper way would be to have a motion before we read the ordinance amending and adding the 29-13. It's amended by inserting certain language, and that language I have drafted in accordance with section 29-4A of this ordinance. The county council may reserve approval/disapproval authority over personnel actions at its discretion. That, as Mr. Willoughby said, that just reiterates what was already in the ordinance, but that way there's no confusion.
Well, why do we need it?
If that's the council's pleasure.
I'm just asking why.
My opinion is it's just belts and suspenders, but, you know, kind of lawyers, Leo, like to be overly cautious, and I think there's a concern about it. I see no harm in it. It's not the kind of thing that's going to create confusion. I think you can start adding things so many times, you know, that you can create confusion. But in this one, I don't see that it creates a problem. If it gives comfort that you know, the council has in fact retained, you know, all authority, I don't see a problem.
Now, if I may ask, does the council have to kind of catch something? Or does this make clear that if a change is to be made, it will be required to have council approval?
I think the theory of the ordinance amendments is there are certain things that need not go to council, kind of basic things like a anti-harassment policy, an accommodation approach with the ADA, things like that. Certainly, they would be the kinds of things that council would be made aware of, but the idea of the ordinance was to give the administration the administrator, director of personnel, the opportunity to make those changes you know, without having to change the ordinance. It'd be unusual to have everything be in an ordinance. So that's the idea, is to have some discretion among the administrators. I think Ms. Brewington mentioned that, for example, in the summer months, I guess there's some changes on the, like with hours of work because of the summer beach traffic, things like that. So that, you know, the department heads have to be given some kind of discretion to manage their operations. So the short answer is that not everything would be pre-approved by council. Certainly council would know about everything, and if council had a problem with it, the authority is absolutely there. You know, council has the final say.
Mm-hmm. Even if we change the wording?
Everything. The council is the elected body. Council has absolute final say.
In what you're doing, even if we change as proposed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be the administration could decide on things?
That's what he's saying.
Yes, I'm saying
things are going to be handled by the administrator,
right,
and the director.
I'm asking if that's the reason that we want to specify county council, because if we don't, then administration could make all the decisions. Is that the reason? I'm just looking for the reason.
No.
That's all.
No,
I'm fine with it.
It sounds to me like it's either you want to micromanage, so every time they make a decision, we have to say yes, or they go about their business, make decisions, And then if there's one, I guess we don't like, we still have the final say on that.
Correct.
Is that how it, how
correct.
It's going to
go? Yes.
I'm not going to be involved in every decision.
No, that's what I'm afraid
right.
of.
And
I don't want
to
do that.
It'd be unusual, sort of by analogy, if you're like the board of directors of a private company. I mean, you know, those kinds of decisions are usually made by the management with the right of the ultimate body to do it. to go to the question of the amendment to 2913, that to me is, as I was saying, kind of belts and suspenders. It just makes doubly clear that ultimately council has, the final say in everything. But it does no harm. I mean, and it makes it absolutely clear that the council reserves that right. So that's why that was suggested.
Well, I understand what you're saying. That's good. And I'm with George Micromanage. But I'm also, I don't want to read in the paper that something went by this administration that's pretty important that should have really came to us or should have known something about it and not know nothing about it.
Well,
that's the only thing I'd like to know.
Right. And I'm sure the administration is very well aware of that.
That's why we're elected to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to know what those three votes came from when they come.
Right. And again, I, the administration, I think, is certainly going to.
Well, I gain comfort in you saying that it does require the administration to make council aware of these changes. So I suppose you're suggesting that at the next council meeting, it would be an agenda item or part of the administrator's report that these changes have been made. Is that what you're suggesting?
I would assume, and this is your internal process, that the administrator would include in his report, adoption of personnel policies like the anti-harassment policy, the ADA accommodation policy, employee handbook, if we adopt that. Yeah, so that would all be made known, obviously.
Very good.
And then we got to get, then we sort of come to opinion. You know what opinions are, somewhere between ignorance and knowledge. But it might be their opinion that we don't really need to know this. It's not important for us to know this. So it's kind of a...
Well, you've got a great administrator,
saying?
But I think he would
commonly... I understand. I think
PMI.
I'm very confident in Todd,
right.
But he can be going to heart. He didn't think so. But.
He's going to commonly, I think, include that in his report. And I guess
to
go back to President Obama's remarks last night and a prior president's remark, I mean, it's trust but verify. We understand that. But it's the idea is to make the administration and the personnel rules nimble and able to react to things. And again, it would be very uncommon to have everything in an ordinance. That would be a very cumbersome way to run
right.
your business, quote unquote.
Right.
But absolutely, council retains the final say, and I think there would be no question.
In other words, I get a letter, I get questions once in a while, ask me, when did that take part? I said, well, that's glad you called me. I didn't know it.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
With respect to the questions and comments that were reviewed by you and
yes.
staff, did any of them stand out as of a concern?
No, we did find, well, two things I would
sorry
say.
To hear Vance. If you would get a little closer to the microphone, it would be helpful.
What concerns did you find within those responses
valid,
by the...
I'm sorry to cut you off. I apologize. Two valid points, I think, that we found. One is that the preamble, the authority, we're dropping the lowercase b. It should be section 706 and not restricted to subsection b in terms of the authority. Secondly, in terms of promotions, the current draft had no more than three individuals being referred to the department head for promotions. And after looking at it, we saw no reason to limit it to three. So we proposed to take out the language limiting it to three so that as long as the person's qualified, any number of people can be referred to the department head if they're the most qualified candidates. So those are the two things I think that we.
And is that also part of this motion that?
I believe we have a motion on that, and I think that was included in our
right.
comments.
And I believe there is one more to Mr. Willoughby. I believe in the responses for the change of title of 2913. To change that to rules governing hours of work, leaves of absences, policies, and procedures
right.
well.
We broaden that title. The law is that the title doesn't really mean anything legally. It's the text of the language. But for clarity's sake, we did broaden that to as Mr. Moore said.
Any more questions from council?
Very good.
Okay, Mr. Moore, you have some amendments.
Yes, and what I would like to do is maybe take them in order. The first would be to amend the proposed section 29-1, the reference to 9 Del Code 7006, B in parens, lowercase b, remove the section B.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Dever. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
The next would be on section 2911B, uppercase B, to remove the words no more than three. So it would then read, when an appointment is made to a vacancy, the administrator submit to the department head or his or her designee the names of persons who have indicated willingness to fill the vacancy, provided, however, that the candidates otherwise qualify for the position. So we're simply striking the words no more than three.
Motion, Mrs. Dever. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
And then in 29, section 2913, change the title to expand it to read rules governing hours of work, leaves of absences, policies, and procedures.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
And the last one is section 2913 is amended by inserting the following as a second sentence therein, which would read, in accordance with section 29-4, uppercase A of this ordinance, the county council may reserve approval slash disapproval authority over personnel actions at its discretion.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Dever. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs.
Yes.
Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Then it would be appropriate to read the short title as amended.
Yes, sir.
As an ordinance to amend Chapter 29 of the Code of Sussex County governing Sussex County personnel to conform to and comply with federal law, state law, and current personnel policies as amended by the four motions just made.
Just to be on the safe side, I think that would read personnel practices.
Yes.
As amended.
Yes.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make it.
Mrs. Dever.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, and I'd just like to say that the added concern about council authority is in no way a reflection of our concern for the actions of the human resource director or our county administrator, but these actions that we take are probably going to be here long after they're gone, and we just not sure, you know, that we'll have as competent a staff in the future. And this continues to give the authority to the elected body.
Mr. Wilson.
We want
a vote.
I vote.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Wilson. Yes.
His answer. I thought we had another.
No.
Yes.
I also vote yes, motion carried, and like to thank Mr. Lawson and Mrs. Brewington and Mr. Willoughby and Mr. Moore and everyone else involved in this. It was a long process, I know, but worthwhile process, I think, so thank you all very much. Mr. Lank. I was going to recognize past Councilman Jones out there, but he's in his crutch hat in the lobby there talking.
I saw him out there, yeah.
He's conversing with Mr. Kramer.
One of those Democrats is what he is.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. I am here this morning to discuss with council flags and banners. Can I give you a little history real quick, just for reference, not to tell you yet. The county code, being ordinance number 115, or chapter 115, does not specifically reference flags and banners. Complaints and concerns have been expressed over feather flags and flags in general. Just for a little history, in the 1970s, the zoning code, which was at that time ordinance number one, included references, and I like to quote that reference. in quotations, pennants, banners, streamers, and all other fluttering, spinning, or similar type signs and advertising devices are prohibited, except for national flags, flags of political subdivisions of the United States, and except for flags of bona fide civic, charitable, fraternal, and welfare organizations. That was in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted a year or two, and years ago, I couldn't find a date, but years ago, that ordinance number one was amended to delete that section of the code.
Really?
As you're also aware, ordinances are regularly amended. Ordinance number one was totally amended and became ordinance number 97. And then again, ordinance number 97 was totally amended and became ordinance 115. And that took place in early 1990s. I'm actually here for input from council to find out the council's wants to specifically address flags, et cetera, and to what detail.
Mm-hmm.
I have not proposed an ordinance. You really need the input to be able to propose an ordinance for consideration. As you're well aware, just from traveling the roads, Sussex County is not the only jurisdiction that's dealing with feather flags. They're pretty much all over, whether it's unincorporated Sussex County or whether it's in the towns. Right here in Georgetown, there are several locations that have a multitude of feather flags. And my questions would be to the council, do you want to totally restrict flags? Basically, there would be no flags other than probably maybe putting in the ordinance back to referencing the U.S. flags and flags of political subdivisions, the civic, civil, fraternal.
The way it was written in?
The way it was in the
70s.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to limit the number of feather flags? I'm using feather flags because that's the primary concern. It could be limited to a number of flags per parcel, per the use involved, typically which are all commercial. It could be limited to the amount of road frontage that they have and a limitation on having a sign per 100 or 200 or 300 foot of frontage. It could be per road frontage. Could it be one sign or two signs per road frontage?
Lawrence, before you get too far into this, because I actually probably figured where we'll end up is we'll limit them, because I don't think outlawing them would be the way to go, because they are pretty much out there and everybody's using them. And people have used open flags that have, say, open on them for years, and I find that harmless. But what I did have some complaints where people had, like you say, multitude of these feather flags at one commercial location, and it obstructed the views or the visual impact for other businesses because it blocked them and where they were placed. So I think, is there a way to look at other jurisdictions, how they've addressed maybe these, and come back to us with maybe limiting them and, maybe setbacks and things like that, where they're placed, as opposed to saying, I don't think anybody wants to say no probably to that, or my guess would be.
If the consideration, which was never referenced before in any previous ordinances, and there was a setback, it should be the same as what a sign setback should be.
Right.
So then there's no encroachment any further than typically on-premise signs, 5 foot.
But they're putting them helter-skelter right now.
Permanent, but they would still have to be located appropriately.
Well, we have gone and asked people to take them down.
We have.
Yeah, and so I don't know where
we are. And they have some have, but they come back up typically on weekends.
Right. But we don't have it in the law, is what you're saying.
Right, we don't really have a regulation.
Uh-huh.
But
back that
the
up.
Difficulty is, and Mr. Moore can correct me if I'm wrong, is that sign, or not even a sign, anything that's not specifically referenced in the code can be considered that it's not permitted.
Oh, but
another
no.
attorney might say that if it's not specifically referenced, it is
permitted.
So
right.
It's been
that can get
40
bizarre.
Years I've
Come
had
on
that
now.
Same argument.
It's crazy.
And it never gets resolved. So we
that pink
do
elephants.
We take a position that it's either is or it isn't.
Well,
so
why don't,
we've had that problem for
why don't we just, Mr. President, try to determine if there's a consensus to look at limiting signs or flags, these type flags, and but put in some standards with it. to boot and to come back with something that we can look at, because we could, you know, we could go around a big circle. Now, is there a consensus to go back to where it was, what, 1970, where they were just...
In the early 70s,
when they were banned, except for those few exceptions. That's one alternative. Is there a consensus to do that? No? Okay, is there a consensus maybe to limit the number of flags and then put in some standards?
Yeah.
Or do you want the Wild West and just let them put them anywhere they want, all over the place, and too many and not any, whatever?
Well, we're the committee looking at Route 1 and the signs that are up on Route 1, and Secretary of DelDOT, they're going to travel and do a study of that. So this may be, we may want to be part of that, and they may feel that we shouldn't have any feather flags on Route 1 where all the deaths have occurred. So I don't know.
Well, not just on Route 1, all the major, all the highways, anywhere, any business, all of a sudden had a little feather flag or two.
Of course,
they've got a mile of road frontage, two or three signs, three or four signs don't mean a whole lot.
Well, that could be one way of addressing it.
But if he's only got
100 feet, he puts 15 signs.
He puts 15 signs, and he's, you know, I think. Yes.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a happy medium somewhere where it makes sense to so many per.
Well, we're not the first ones that are addressing, like Lawrence said, there's other jurisdictions. I'm wondering, could we get some examples of other jurisdictions, and then we could look at something, and then we could then give, I think, a better direction to Lawrence and the staff to put together an ordinance that will maybe not be changed 20 times before we can finally agree to something.
I know, let's use this for example, Lawrence, one night out of Cokesbury, remember the naked farmer?
And naked farmer.
Well, that's
what they called it. That's what they called it. Call
anyway,
I thought that was Sam.
Anyway,
might not.
I didn't say naked girlfriend.
It's his call sign on his CB radio.
anyway, the guy was Mr. Langford had a pig. You know, pictured a pig in the sign, a little bit of a entertainment, but it was a mile down the road or more.
Yeah, or less. Probably less than
anyway, the guy had gave him permission to put it on that piece of property, which there's no other sign around, none. But because it was part of his property, I guess you might say, he could not allow him own so many signs on down on his piece of property. So it was, I didn't really see anything wrong with it. I went out and looked at it, but according to regulations, the sign had to come down.
It became an off-premise sign, which requires
off-premise.
No matter what
size it is. For that.
And of course, none of this can be in the right of way.
If there's no other signs near there, and it's not really obstructing views or anything, I had a problem with that, really. Because he had a little market there, and he wanted to advertise for it. And then again, sometimes you get all this, like you said, well, go, George. You just put one sign right after the other, and it's just cluttered the whole place, and it all looks like. And nobody really benefits. Because
it's like Burma Shave every couple of
days. Well, Burma Shave, at least got in front of the part so you can read each line, but they got this mess, you almost have to stop to read it when it gets so close.
Well, anyway, that's what I'm saying. We could talk about this forever. Why don't we ask for the staff to come back with some examples of other jurisdictions, how they've addressed them?
Well, that's my example.
And then he's heard that you've said front footage. I mean, there's only a couple ways to address them, but. Or we want to limit them is what the consensus is, I would think. Not to say no, but just let's limit them with some standards.
For safety reasons.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then we'll have something on the table.
Unless someone has a major issue with that, why don't we just have them do come back to us at a later date, whenever they can get that together on other jurisdictions around us,
that's
not
okay.
Someplace in Missouri. But
just before you close, at four other things.
Okay.
Will you go ahead?
Mr. Cole hit one of them, or actually two. The open flags, as long as I can remember, businesses that had flags or neon signs out front saying they were open. Mm-hmm. So that's been a question. It's still a flag, so it's not referenced as permitted, so that needs to be addressed as a part of the ordinance saying it's permitted,
okay.
I would have to say. The question you get into is that flags with wording, flags with pictures, flags that are colored. They're all just colors. They're orange, green, or whatever.
Attention getters.
They attract attention. Mm-hmm. The one with wording becomes definitely a sign. The one with a picture, and the example typically would be produce. Rather than put up a sign, they put up a flag, and it's got a tomato, and the next one's got a watermelon, an ear corn. Now, you see a lot of that now this year. Mm-hmm. And the sign's the same way. And the only thing that we wonder about permitting as being a sign is just a color. It's an attention getter. And that goes back to the 1970 ordinance, where it's not really a sign, but it's fluttering.
You know, I think they had a right idea back in 1970.
Well, my suggestion again, Mr. President, would be maybe we just look at and address it. A flag is a flag, or a sign is a sign, no matter what it's pretty much got on it. And we'll address it at that point and see if we want to change it from that. But
well, the point is that most of the flags
are, and I don't want to get into
sign.
A flag with a
sure, you're right.
picture on it versus right. a flag.
How about a rainbow flag?
Huh?
How about a rainbow flag?
I'm just saying a flag is a flag.
That's a flag.
How about right. We ought to just address
it. How about the American flag?
No, we're going to exempt American flags and things that we've already, I think, agreed to that pretty much. Back in 1970, we agreed to that.
We got all that exempt.
We
any
will.
Any more comments from council? Concern from council?
No, just
Mr. Phillips.
Thank you. The only thing I think we need to keep in mind is our staffing and how much we want to put on them for the enforcement of whatever we come up with. I still see some of these flashing signs that have not been addressed. And I think
nobody can hear you, Vance.
I say we need to be cognizant of how much staffing we have, and we don't want to create something that's so burdensome that we can't enforce it. I at times still see the flashing signs, which I believe have been addressed through code, and you know, it's very difficult for our staff to police these things, and I know we don't want to put too great a burden on them. It's just something I want you to consider.
But, and to add to that, the bandit signs, which we've been dealing with for a couple of years, has been a major issue. DelDOT stopped going out and pulling signs.
They
weren't
stopped.
Finding anybody. They pretty much stopped because they didn't want to put the man hours out on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with them, and they gave us permission to pull them. But by pulling their signs in right-of-ways, it was difficult for us to then say which sign we were pulling. Is it in the right-of-way or is it not? So we weren't basically stopped creating a fine issue, and we stopped charging the fines because we couldn't substantiate the record to be able to keep the one in the right-of-way and the one foot from it that's not. So we stopped doing the fines. So we still have it in the code to do it. If you get DelDOT back into the right-of-ways, we would. That would help us, too.
Can we make that request through our county administrator?
Or we got to do something to address it somehow. Right, right. I guess we thought that by just the county picking them all up, it would be a little more efficient than...
But we're just
doesn't make sense. One truck pulls up and pulls one sign. Another truck pulls up and pulls another sign. When people see that, they go, government is very inefficient, and they don't know which government's doing
right,
it.
But so it was actually better when we did pull them up, but... We haven't been out basically for a month or two pulling signs on weekends. Again, it's an overtime issue for us too. But we can pull them on Fridays late or early Mondays sometimes.
Sorry, awesome. Sorry, Mr. Lank. I didn't mean to cut you off. Months ago was approached by stakeholders, including real estate and development communities that. In fact, one of the persons in the meeting said that the quote real estate directional signs that are put up on weekends are the single most best source to direct foot traffic in and out of listings for the weekend. And their meeting with me was to see if there was any discussion among county officials to come up with a agreement with the county to allow those types of signs, which we consider bandit signs right now, in the county, whether it be in certain areas, under certain numbers, during certain times. I think it's well known, at least on the eastern side of the county, there's a service where real estate signs are put out late Friday night by one individual with a trailer up and down main corridors, and those signs are then pulled on Sunday evening when county and DelDOT are not enforcing. So that's kind of the unofficial agreement that's taking place right now. That's where we are right now.
So you're not, I mean, you weren't suggesting that then we assign a county person to go behind that trailer. Well, it's happened. 5 minutes and people can pull back up. So
it has happened a couple of times where he was putting out signs and an employee was not too far behind him, not knowing he was up there, actually ahead of him, mm-hmm. and gentleman made a turn to go back in another direction and saw our staff pulling his signs up and came over and questioned what they were doing.
Well, you just got to be careful.
Really clear.
Right. When I drive into other areas and you see these intersections and there might be 100 different signs there, and it gets unsightly. They're putting them on property that they don't own. They're just plopping them all over the place. And, it's something that I don't think most of the people in this county think is advantageous to encourage. So what we need to do is have something that doesn't encourage it. And maybe the real estate industry, you know, would like to encourage some of it. I mean, I don't know if there is a way to do it, but as of right now, I think what we had before was out of hand. Mm-hmm. And it's complaint-driven, a lot of this stuff, so.
We have found that most of them are in state right-of-ways.
They are in it?
Majority.
That's a bad thing.
The one that really looks unsightly is you pull up to a bridge overpass at an intersection or something, and all of a sudden there's 14 signs and they're sitting right next to the pavement, mm-hmm. right next to the ramp going off or something.
Oh, I know. It's
accident.
So that's
not quite a bit.
Do you think you have enough direction from what you've heard here to?
I have. I can. What I would can do is we have an intern. I can have the intern go into computer systems and see what he can find on other.
Jurisdictions.
On flags, yeah. And bandits, too. We can do both at the same time.
And it's at the same time, maybe Mr. Lawson wants to address his issue with his real estate people.
Well, I'm from 1970.
I'm conveying what was told to me. If you'd like us to have...
If you choose not to, that's up to you. They talk with you. You deal with it as you see fit.
Understood.
Well, Thank you, sir. It got out of hand years ago when we had that councilman who was referencing the sign business, and he had a partner in crime, and you know, and those two were just very dangerous when it came to that whole issue.
Where is that partner?
Thank you, Mr. Lank.
Finley.
His partner
Joe
in
Wright.
Crime. Where is that man?
While you're coming forward, we'll recognize the past councilman, Mr. Finley Jones, in the back of the room there, with his crutch.
Hey,
good to see you, sir. Welcome.
Also known as partner in
just
crime.
Just went ahead. I didn't know him.
Mr. Wright.
He's needed a crutch for a long time.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning, sir.
I am Joe Wright, Assistant County Engineer, and for the purpose of this item before you, I was designated as the person in responsible charge of the selection. Statements of qualifications and experience were solicited from airport consultants for projects at the Sussex County Airport for a 5-year period. Projects include, but are not limited to, extension of runway 422, including environmental assessment, extension of parallel taxiway system, approach lighting and signage, runway 1028 parallel taxiway and drainage design, main apron expansion. On July 25th, 8 responses were provided for consideration. On August 22nd, formal presentations were provided by the 4 firms shortlisted for this purpose. The committee of 5 Sussex County engineering staff selected Delta Airport Consultants Incorporated as the unanimous choice, subject to council approval, to negotiate an agreement for a 5-year period. I have a motion subject to questions from the council for approval and permission to proceed in this regard.
No.
We used them in the past.
What is the cost?
The cost will not be negotiated until this next step, should you allow permission to enter that phase. Successful negotiation not be achieved, the procedure will allow us to then go to the second choice.
You're just looking at credentials at this point.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So this is through the professional service process?
Professional services.
It's not a bidding process for a project, right?
No, it's not.
It's an awkward way of doing things, isn't it, Vance?
It's in accordance with the Sussex.
Would you do it, George? Huh? Is that where you run your
business? I wouldn't do it. No, I wouldn't do it that way. That's how government.
Mr. Wright, you have the floor, please.
In conjunction with the Sussex County procedure, and also in this particular case, in conjunction with the FAA process, price cannot be considered until the next step. It cannot be considered for the purpose of ranking the consultants.
Mm-hmm. You have a motion, sir.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves the selection of Delta Airport Consultants Incorporated to provide engineering services for the Sussex County Airport, including but not limited to environmental studies, planning, design, and construction administration, effective September 10th, 2013.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
Was this included in our packet?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't find it anyway.
I read it.
Engine.
I read it.
It's engineering under, Airport C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Givers.
The first one of the under, three engineering ones.
Under E, heading E.
Okay. I am not finding it.
I have an extra hard copy if you'd like to.
Yes, I would.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
It's too busy. We have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? Mr. Phillips, can I look at that right quick?
I'm good.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank
Excellent
you, sir.
Way to do things.
Thank you.
I'll do it.
I do find it interesting that your ranking of interviewing these people, that the people we just hired for $300,000 to do more work out there, urban engineering ranks third.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh, we had trouble.
Uh-oh, here can.
He looks great. I thought he was an attorney.
Mrs. Jennings, grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. The City of Rehoboth Beach is requesting $1,000 to offset the expenses of having Delaware State University Marching Band to perform at the bandstand. The last grant received was $1,000 from Mr. Cole.
Yes, I would be glad to do that again.
Second.
I've done that for many years.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $1,000 to Rehoboth Beach for Delaware State University Marching Band performance at the bandstand.
Great show.
Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the next grant is the Lewis Rehoboth Association of Churches. They would like assistance connecting their community resource center to the City of Rehoboth's water system. The Community Resource Center provides assistance to vulnerable individuals in coastal Sussex County. The center has served over 4,000 clients, and there has been no past grants.
Right, well,
it's a great service.
They were asking, for, they, their water, their well, was determined to be not that, you know, the water wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they hooked up to the City of Rehoboth, and the City of Rehoboth has certain, you know, system hookups like we do here at the county, so we're going to help with that, Mrs. Deaver and myself, and we'll each contribute $1,500, so we'll help. We'll probably help with half of the cost of that.
Second.
We have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $3,000, $1,500 from each of those two councilmatic districts.
Yeah, on one hand, we're giving Rehoboth Beach $1,000, on the other hand, we're, I don't know, we're helping people pay for their hookup fees, but all right.
Any questions on the motion? Mr. Phillips.
We'll inevitably be questioned as to whether or not we're violating any separation of church and state laws. I guess the question would be to Ms. Jennings. This organization qualifies per our policy.
It does. Yeah. It is a nonprofit, and it's an association where they help individuals, all individuals.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Any kind of domination, yes. Mm-hmm.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
We yes, motion carried.
Okay. The next one is Georgetown Historical Society. They are requesting funds to help offset the cost of replacing roofs on their two of their buildings at the Marble Carriage Museum. The last grants received were in 2008 that totaled $3,800. This is Mr. Wilson.
I make a motion we give them $3,000.
Good move. Thank you.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips to grant $3,000 from Mr. Wilson's councilmatic account to Georgetown Historical Society for their replacing roofs on the buildings. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Okay. The next grant is the Rehoboth Beach Film Society and Cape Henlopen Education Foundation. They are requesting $2,500 to help purchase audiovisual equipment to be installed at the Cape Henlopen High School. The equipment will bring the Metropolitan Opera Live in HD to Sussex County. Its 10 simulcast performances will be presented at the high school theater during October. And Sue Early is here from the Rehoboth Beach Film Society to talk about it in more depth.
It's the Film Society. They don't.
We have someone to address your questions.
Oh, here you go.
Good afternoon, council members. It's 10 performances starting in October through May. This initiative really came from the community. They asked for this, and they've demonstrated their support. We've received 78 gifts so far, 70 of which have come from individuals in the community. We've raised $28,745. We've started to do some of the installation work and found out that we need to raise our goal to $35,000. So we're still in need of $6,255, and we're continuing to try to raise money. This program really has some economic benefits to the community. One, we're using local labor to get ready, welders, electric, roofing, sound. In addition, we're starting to sell tickets, and we're seeing people that used to go to Wilmington or down in Ocean City are now buying tickets here. So there's going to be some corresponding economic benefit.
Because it's all opera, and that's all it is?
Yes.
No rock and roll, no country music? Oh,
okay. No. All right. But the equipment that we're installing will be able to be used by the high school for other programs. So there's going to be a substantial benefit to the whole high school program.
Are they going to own it?
Yes. Yes.
They prepare themselves. That's a brand new school.
Well, they weren't thinking four years ago.
Right? HD was the issue.
Yes. It needs a bigger screen. The screen they have is very small. And when you get a bigger screen, you have to get a projector that corresponds to the throw and the size. The other thing is what's happening is the school district or the high school is applying for an educational program with the Met that will provide some instruction. It will provide some free tickets for students for each performance. And no other school in Delaware is participating right now. So this could be a first for Sussex County, which would be really a milestone.
Here.
Yes. Here. And then after we get started, we then want to branch out and form some partnerships with other schools to get more students to attend. And this is access to a form of arts that they otherwise would not have access to.
And other organizations other than the Film Society will be able to benefit from it, possibly,
yes.
Right?
School, yes.
Once this gets there to school, other people that use that facility, and the school does allow, I think, the public come in and use it.
Correct.
My only concern is, as you can see, we get so many requests, and we only have so much money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think you're going to see Mrs. Deaver and I, myself, be willing to pony up what you're expecting. But I think that we should support it. I think it's good, and it will be helpful. So, I'm willing to do like $500 from my account and $500 from Mrs.
He's
Deaver's account.
He's my agent.
I'm spending her money for her.
So your motion,
yes.
Mr.
My motion would be $1,000.
Yes, I'll second
500
that.
From each.
I'll second it. Gotcha.
Just because of a limited
greatly
funds we have.
It's greatly appreciated.
We're trying to help.
Thank you.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver to grant $1,000 to the Rehoboth Beach Film Society, $500 from each person, each of those two accounts. Any questions on that motion?
All about the kids.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carries.
It
thank
should
you.
Be country music, though.
That's the next step.
Down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jennings.
The last grant, Del Mar Historical and Arts Society. They are requesting $1,000 to offset operating expenses to print newsletters and historical walking tour handouts to be given at the Del Mar Heritage Days. The last grant was $250 from Mr. Phillips.
I'd like to give $1,000 taxpayer dollars to Del Mar Historical Society.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,000 from Mr. Phillips's taxpayer-funded councilmatic grant to the Del Mar Historical and Arts Society for the cost of printing walking tour handouts. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I believe that's motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings. Yeah. Opposed any ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There are several. First is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a countertop manufacturing business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 8.145 acres more or less, tax map ID 5-32-6-87.02, filed on behalf of Greg Johnson.
Which
district?
It doesn't say which district on it. And the next is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 1.20 acres more or less, tax map ID 2-33-5-1. 189.05 on behalf of Harry G. Miller.
Does that make your advance?
I'll introduce.
At District 5, yeah.
And the next is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 24,205 square feet, more or less. Tax map ID 3-34-12-25 and 26, filed on behalf of Robert and Julia Norwood.
Yeah, how can you introduce that, that CR1 on Route 24? That doesn't even, that's not even allowed, is it? How could we introduce that?
We can introduce it.
We can introduce
supplied.
It and vote it down, huh? Okay, I'll introduce it.
Even introduce it.
And the last is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium density residential district and an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.43 acres, more or less. Tax map ID 1-34-11-184.02 and 185, filed on behalf of Atlantic Community Thrift Shop, Inc.
I'll introduce
that's
it.
District
I'll introduce
four.
It.
That is all,
Thank
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy. Okay.
He did we'll Bill Carroll.
Here.
Yeah, he's gone.
Billy Carroll.
He's gone.
Okay. Yeah, I think he spoke earlier about the barking dog.
He thought he had to sign in. Got
oh, yeah.
Entertain a motion to go into executive session for land acquisition.
You got it.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, we're now going to go into executive session for land acquisition.